There's a lot of games that we have had so far in our pick'ems. We'll finish those out here in the next segment. But joining us now on the phone lines is Greg Tepper of Dave Campbell's Texas Football to shed some light on a few of the matchups going on this week. And, Greg, we do appreciate your time as always. Doing sidelines for Midway, there was a time earlier in the year when I thought this would be a postseason team because they typically are, but just wasn't sure if they could make the type of run they've really made over the last few years. And yet here they are in the third round of the playoffs after a nice win last week. But now they got Spring Westfield, Greg, and we know that's a different animal. Your thoughts on what Midway is facing when it comes to Spring Westfield?
Yeah, certainly. You know, Westfield is one of the perennial powers down there in the Houston area, and this is a pretty vintage Westfield team, most notably because they've got a couple of playmakers on the offensive side, but the strength of this team always tends to lie on the defensive side. And we're talking about guys like Dylan Peavy and Tim Hardiman. You're talking about a ferocious front seven, and you're talking about a team that turns the ball over a lot. They've got 14 pick interceptions on the year, five of them coming from Jaden Perkins. And then, you know, this is a team that we maybe thought was a year away, but this sophomore quarterback, Cardale Williams, has stepped up in a big way. Now, I will say this. If you are Midway and you are Westfield, you're looking at this and you're saying, hey, everything really just opened up for us. And the world is now our oyster in 6A Division II because of the chaos we had last week, most notably with Dallas Jesuits' upset win over Longview. Suddenly, Region 2 does not have this big looming threat. And so if you're Midway in Westfield, you're looking at this game and saying, why not us? Why can't we make a run? Why can't we play for it all? Because right now you could say the biggest roadblock has been removed for you. So I think that Midway is going to come into this game with a little bit of pep in their step. My big question is going to be all about their offensive line. Can their offensive line hold up against what's been a ferocious front seven for Westfield? Huge matchup in this game, but major implications down the road because basically Longview's gone, and with them gone out of the way, there's a clear path to Arlington.
Conley, they have a big matchup on Friday evening against Gilmer, a team rich in tradition. They'll be playing at Allen Eagle Stadium. What are your thoughts on this one, Greg?
Yeah, this is a really interesting matchup, and this is when, you know, we've had high hopes, obviously, for Conley all year long. But this is when you start, getting into, to the big time. This is when you're starting to get those teams that you are thinking, okay, these are the teams you have to beat to win a state championship. This is the caliber. And, you know, this is, with all due respect to the teams that they've beaten the first couple of rounds, you know, Longview, Spring Hill, and Canton, this is a step up. This is a step up in quality, and you're dealing with a Gilmer team that is not only good but hot. They're playing their best ball right now. They've got an outstanding junior quarterback in Mason Hurt, who has been really solid for them all year long. Their defense, I think, has taken a big step forward in the past couple of weeks, and they're a team that gets after the quarterback. 26 sacks on the year, 90 tackles for loss. They live in opponents' backfields, and you're probably looking at the record and saying, well, 9-3, how good can they really be? Well, they have lost to Paris. That's a real pretty good 4A team. They have lost to Carthage. I don't think you need any, I don't need anybody to tell me who they are. And then their other loss is to Pleasant Grove. I mean, you're talking about three heavy-hitting losses there, and they've been competitive in all of those games. And so if you are Connolly, once again, you got to go out there, and the name of the game is going to be a clean game. You got to go out there, no penalties, no turnovers. You got to go out there and play a clean game because Gilmer is most certainly going to do that. There will be tons of speed on the field, just outrageous amounts of speed on both sides of the ball. This is going to be a blur, and it wouldn't be a surprise if this game turned into a track meet. In fact, I think that would actually benefit Conley if they were able to get their athletes out and get this game into the 30s or even the low 40s. That is a huge test, arguably the biggest test yet for Conley. If they pass this one, then you really got to start considering how far this team can go.
A rematch from earlier in the season, what do you make of Frisco Lone Star in Highland Park?
Yeah, I mean, buckets of intrigue here, and this is a really interesting matchup, not only because these teams have met before, but also because I think that the winner of this game has got to be at least no worse than co-favorite to make it to a state championship game out of the left side of the bracket. Highland Park, I think if you look back on their loss to Frisco Lone Star at home, snapping that long home winning streak back then, there were two things that ended up deciding that game. One of them was that they turned the ball over a bunch, and their quarterback, Chandler Morris, has been excellent all year long, but he has a tendency sometimes to get real loose with the ball, and he was loose with the ball against Lone Star. This defense is too good to give them an opportunity opportunity to turn you over. The other one side of it was that they could not control Marvin Mims, the receiver for Frisco Lone Star, and that is going to be a huge, huge challenge for this Highland Park team that maybe, quite simply, we got to be talking about, are they just overmatched on the outside? Now, they've been overmatched before, and they've schemed away from it, but this is a special Lone Star team, and what's most interesting about this is that I think that I don't know this for a fact, but just looking at the way these last 2 weeks have played out, I don't think either of these coaching staffs have been paying attention to the teams they were playing. I think really and truly, I think Highland Park probably didn't scheme all that much for Magnolia. And I don't think Lone Star, you know, they probably threw a little bit of game plan together for College Station, but these two teams have been eyeballing each other from across the room for about 8 weeks now, and you're going to get a fantastic matchup in that showcase game on Friday at AT&T Stadium, and really major, major implications as far as who plays for a state championship in this one. And it's hard to beat a good team twice. It's almost impossible to beat a good team coached by Randy Allen twice, but is there something special about this Lone Star team? We're going to find out.
Greg, there were some monumental upsets last week, some crazy comebacks. I mean, start off with Rockwall upending Allen 60-59. Just how crazy did it get in your mind last week?
It was one of the more wild Friday nights of the year. What's funny is that, you know, we came into the Dave Campbell's Texas football offices on Friday morning after the Thursday slate, and there were 20 games across the state, and I went 20-0. And that's not because I am a football genius. It's because it was extremely chalky. It was just I didn't pick any upsets, and the favorites held the form. And so I was like, oh, okay, well, how are things gonna work out? And then Friday rolls around, and everything starts going crazy. We mentioned Longview's loss to Dallas Jesuit. That's a stunner. They were 33-point underdogs according to the Dave Campbell's Texas Football Computer, which is just ridiculous. Houston Straight Jesuit, who had lost to Beaumont Westbrook in week 2 by 40. Goes and beats them the second time around and beats them kind of running away from them. And then there were other games like Port Lavaca Calhoun going down to Bernie Champion and Joaquin beating Alto and all of these incredible upsets that came one by one by one. And then you had those other games that weren't necessarily upsets but were absolutely insane. You mentioned Rockwall and Allen. Jackson Smith Najigba goes berserker in the first half, scores 5 touchdowns in the first half, adds a rushing touchdown in the second half, and they go for 2 in the final minute and get it. And Rockwall upends Allen, the first time they haven't won at least 14 games in a season since 2010. And then on Saturday, you had Denton Guyer and Cedar Hill, where Denton Guyer is down something like 41-17 in like the fourth quarter. They end up getting 3 onside kicks and coming back and stunning Cedar Hill. And by the way, they're in that 6A Division II bracket where they've got to feel like now that Longview's out, everything is opening up for them. It was a wild, and I hate to use the word unprecedented because Texas high school football always seems to surprise us, but this was not a normal Friday night and Saturday last week. We had some brackets that were thrown into the wood chipper.
You don't get to the this week on accident. You know, it's not just you fall into the third round of the playoffs, but just knowing that these guys, these teams, they all can't win state championships, but they're playing the day after Thanksgiving. How special is that in general?
Well, it's special for a couple of reasons. One is that, yeah, you know, you hear from coaches and players that say that practicing on Thanksgiving week is just special because a lot of them, they don't have class all week, and so they are just focused on football, and at this point, they're feeling good. The weather's cooling off. The practice is a little bit more fun because you know what you're playing for. It's the biggest game of the season. There's just a lot of fun that goes into it. But you also talk with coaches, and they'll tell you that the advantage of making a deep playoff run is not even necessarily, you know, the trophies and things like that. They're obviously not turning those back in. But the big advantage is that you get these extra weeks of practice. And that while everyone else is hanging up pads after 10 weeks, 11 weeks, 12 weeks, you are getting those extra weeks of practice, not only for your starters, but for your JV. And that is such an advantage. When you talk about why a team like Katy is able to consistently put out quality product, that is because they're playing 4 or 5 rounds deep in the playoffs. They're getting, over the course of 2 years, they will get an extra season of practice. That is a huge advantage when you take a look at it on balance. And so I think that, yeah, obviously playing after Thanksgiving, you know, we actually have a game on Thanksgiving tomorrow night in Hyco as Strawn takes on Gordon in a 6-man regional final. But playing on or around or near and after Thanksgiving is a special thing, not only for the health of your program, but also just for the kids who get to experience it.
I wanted to ask you about that Thanksgiving matchup. Tell me more about Gordon and Strawn, two teams that really don't like each other and play on Thanksgiving Day in Hyco.
One of the iconic high school football rivalries in the state of Texas. These two teams started playing in 1923, and this is the game, right? You know, in the same way that we think of Odessa Permian and Midland Lee, in the same way that we think of Longview and Marshall, in the same way that we think of El Campo and Bay City, this is one of the great rivalries. These two teams do not like each other, and they played an absolute classic in district play earlier this year, about 4 weeks ago, where Gordon grabbed a one-point win over Strawn. Now, one-point wins are always thrilling. One-point wins in six-man football are insane. And so it was a remarkable win for Gordon, and now all they got to do is go do it again. Now, Strawn is riding a 12-game playoff winning streak. Remember, they're the two-time defending 1A Division II state champs. They got a great playmaker named J.W. Montgomery. On the other side, Haas Kraus was the big-time playmaker for this Gordon team the first time around. I figure this game's going to be close and going to be a lot of fun, and I'll tell you that if you're anywhere near Hyco, Texas, this is a great way to get away from your family if you're sick of them after Thanksgiving dinner. I think the game kicks off at 7. Get out there, get some great six-man football action. It's a lot of fun, and I'm glad they're playing on Thanksgiving. I always love when there's one game on Thanksgiving because, there's just something special about it, playing on the holiday.
No doubt. There is a big matchup in Houston, two teams very familiar with each other, Katy and Galena Park, North Shore. They are a combined 23-1 on the year. Your thoughts on Katy and North Shore?
Yeah, and by the way, that one in the 23-1 was Katy beating North Shore.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
These are two teams intimately familiar with one another. It's the fourth time in 450 days they're going to play one another, and it's the fourth year in a row they're meeting in the playoffs. And this game is super interesting for a number of reasons. You know, most notably, both these teams are really banged up right now. They're really missing a number of their key weapons. Most notably, you know, North Shore, all year long we've been waiting for Shadrick Banks, their star receiver, to get back healthy. Well, he does get back healthy and then ends up injuring himself again in the playoff opener against Pasadena Adobe. He is done for the year. He is their number one receiver, the Texas A&M commit. How does North Shore scheme around that? On the other side, Katy, the big thing that they were able to do in their opener against North Shore was run the ball with Ronald Hoff. Well, Ronald Hoff got injured in the first quarter of their kind of survival game in the bi-district round against Fort Penn Ridgepoint. He did not play last week against Cy Fair. It sounds like he's going to try to go this week, but it's a running back and an ankle, and that is something that's very difficult to handle. The other thing that's going to be interesting is that, you know, they played in week one. It was on national TV on a Thursday night, but these two coaches and Gary Joseph and John Kay are smart. I guarantee you those were very vanilla schemes. They knew they were going to be playing each other again. Well, here it is. They're going to unload the bag. You're going to see everything. And one other thing to note is that star running back for North Shore, Zachary Evans, he had not had double-digit carries all year long. They've been keeping that tread on that tire. Well, last week against Pearland Dawson, they let him loose, and he ran for 350 yards. The time is now to utilize Zach Evans. He ran the ball 9 times in the first time against Katy. I bet it is 2-3 times that in this one. That's going to be a big advantage. They've been saving their big hoss for the playoffs.
Yeah, he's got offers from everywhere. You might have remembered him from the last postseason. And, he's a tremendous player. That should be a great rematch. Hey, Greg, happy Thanksgiving to you and yours. Hope you have a wonderful holiday with your family. And we look forward to seeing all the results this weekend and talking to you about them next week, man. Thanks so much, as always.
Absolutely. Happy Thanksgiving, guys.